Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Our draft sound.
I've never seen so much dong in my life.
Black, please. Thank
black dong. He put the USDA stamp on his dong.
Then the bonus rewards program came.
Hold on, everybody.
Freaking bitch.
It's over.
We think.
She is an aloof bitch.
Resourceful little bitch.
Bye, bitch. There it is. Thank you. Nice to have you along. It's Club 1080 hour of our show.
Yes.
Yes.
Where the bees flow.
Pressure's on. Bitch.
Not really. Is there pressure? Do you feel pressure?
I don't.
Nor do I.
I don't. When's the last time you felt real pressure in your life?
Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Pressure to what? Just finish?
Well, actually, no, that's not true. I wouldn't say pressure, butterflies, anxiety, but not pressure, because I didn't have to do it for anybody.
Yeah, had you not, well, I mean, pressure not to
die. There wasn't any consequence had I not finished or, you know.
Last time I felt real pressure?
I had a $2,000 putt once.
Did you?
I did.
A couple grand?
Yeah.
How was it a couple thousand? Oh, was it like a member guest? And like
it got out of hand.
Yeah.
But, you know, you play.
Did you make the putt?
More importantly, did you make the putt?
I did not.
Mm. Oh, pressure got to you? Or did you just misread it?
I mean, it was kind of a longer putt. I don't think the pressure got to me, but that's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, because like some of like the martial arts competitions, I mean, that's not pressure. There's definitely some nerves.
Yeah, that's different though.
But that's not
pressure.
It's not necessarily pressure. I mean, there's a couple times like when you're kicking and punching, I don't really feel like getting my head knocked off. But that's, again, I don't necessarily feel pressure because again, it's not like there's a championship or anything, and you can bow out of it. I don't know. I bet you there's some stuff with kids. You know, that it's probably something related to my kid. You know, when. There's the pressure to like not screw it up or to provide for me, probably something like that. But like, that's not an individual event. I'd say the last time that I really felt pressure that like really got to me was training camps in the NFL. Like, and I'm sure there was other things along the line, but that was like every day I woke up with like, what the F am I doing? Like, this is awful. And you just felt like any given day you were one step away from getting your ass sent home, which I was, because I knew deep down that probably wasn't going to work out. That was pressure. There was a lot on me during those times. That was probably the most pressure-packed moment that I can remember.
I felt pressure after I came home from college and had a 1 GPA.
Yeah.
And saw my grades and went, oh. And then I had to go back and like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't really screw up after the first semester.
Yeah.
Because, well, they'll kick you out.
Mm. Yeah.
So that I felt pressure because I was like, am I dumb? Because I kind of am.
And then you got to go home and tell your family that you're too dumb to go to KU.
They were great about it. But yeah. I remember the conversation I had when that when the, because back then they mailed the grades to your house.
Yeah, I remember kids, that.
And then you would open it, and your parents would read it, and they'd go, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah.
They'd be like, "Well, I'm kind of dumb, and I partied a little bit." So that was pressure going back there and having to turn that thing around.
Yeah, yeah.
Got, I mean, that turned around, though.
The I mean, I don't want to get, like, I don't want to get dark, but when my wife died, there was, I felt pressure.
As a dad?
As a dad. Like, that was like...
Dad?
Yeah. Now it's all on me.
That's all on me.
Yeah.
Like, I,
no one there.
That's real pressure.
I remember, I don't know, it was maybe a week or two after, I remember, like, going down and, like, getting the kids ready for school, like... I don't think they were getting, maybe it was later than that because they didn't go to school for like a month. But I remember sometime after that going down, and it all kind of blurred. It was like 10 years ago. But I remember like opening the fridge and being like, "What the hell, man? Like, we don't have any milk." I'm like, "Who did?
Look at you, you sexist pig."
Well, she did all the grocery shopping. And I remember being like, "Man, we don't have any milk. Who was supposed to get?" And I was like, "Oh.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's.
It's you.
That's me.
You, big fella."
Yeah. And like dinner. Like, I didn't make dinner, and all of a sudden it was like, "Oh yeah, I got to make dinner," and like just like that, that was a lot of, there was a lot of pressure.
It's insane.
For the first couple years after that, it was a different kind of pressure, but there was, I had a pucker factor of about 72,000 on that one. There was a lot of pressure on that.
We've got a new trend in movie going.
Yeah.
And I can tell you definitively that I would not like this, but you may.
Okay.
Moviegoers may. It's a thing.
It's a thing with a place and a guy.
It started with AMC.
Uh-huh. I'm more of a Regal guy, but I do go to AMC from time to time.
I think they call it AMC Screen Unseen. Have you heard of that?
AMC Screen Unseen.
So it's picking up steam.
Okay.
And it's surprise movies at the theater. So they're new movies.
Oh.
But, so it's a pre-screen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're going to show you, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Sure.
It's going to be a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know when you sit down in the theater what's coming on the screen.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's and a movie that a has thing. Not been released and isn't going to be released for a while.
Well, no, I think it's the screening. So I think it's like, I think it's like they're coming out now.
Okay.
It's the new movies that are coming out, but you don't know which one it's going to be.
Hmm.
And you have to sit there and watch it.
Interesting.
What do you think about that?
I don't like that. Now, if it was... I need some details on this. I'm going to do some digging. Because if you told me that for, you know, whatever a ticket price is now, I don't know, $13-15. Go on cheap nights, though. It's like $5-6. Way better. I go on a lot of Tuesday night movies, but I got to pay my $15 and I'm going to go in and you're going to give me a movie that isn't going to come out for 6 months.
Discounted price.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a discount.
Okay.
So I'll just read you what AMC is saying.
Yeah, give me the AMC thing.
Get a deal and a Showtime reveal.
Okay.
See what they did there?
Yeah.
With AMC Screen Unseen, see a never before seen movie at a discounted price. We will share the movie's MPAA rating ahead of time, so you know whether it's PG or whatever.
Yeah.
But the feature presentation will remain a mystery until showtime. After the show, share your spoiler-free thoughts with hashtag AMC Screen Unseen on Insta for a chance to win a Film Fanatic prize pack.
That's better. So you give me discounts. Let's say it's $7-8. I still would like it. I would be more inclined to go if it was several months out. Let's say... Like a big, the Superman movie is going to open in July, right? That's going to be a big blockbuster. Or the Mission Impossible movie is out right now. Big blockbuster. Make a bunch of money. If you told me that by doing this, let's say last October or November, right? I'm going to that, and there's a chance that it's you're going to give me one of like those movies. Hey, this is going to be a movie that's coming out 6 to 8 months from now, right? It's finished. You know, but where, you know, it's waiting to be released or maybe this is the rough cut of it. I would be all over that. I think that's awesome. The fact that it could come out in like a week, I think I would rather just wait and pick and choose what is, if I can go see that movie 3 days from now, it would have to be severely discounted for me to want to go do that because then I could just pay to go see that movie or decide not to go it based on what I thought of it.
What if they told you the genre? Because, like, they're saying, like, this next thing that it says on here, be first to see a scare if you dare. If you're a horror fan, keep your eyes peeled for AMC Screen Unseen announcements. And you can get your tickets already.
Yeah.
So you know it's a horror movie.
Yeah, it's not bad. You're kind of roping me in. I still am not certain that you're going to get me on it. But Alexa, I pulled up right now just the Regal by my house, and I just wanted to see, and because sometimes it's bad. Now we're in prime movie season, and it also depends on when it is. Because if you go during certain points of the year, dude, there is crap. But right now, playing How to Train Your Dragon, I would go see that. I would be happy that you gave me that.
Isn't that already a movie?
They did the live action one. The cartoon is great. Love How to Train Your Dragon.
So they're doing real dragons in this one?
Yeah, CGI. No, Buck, they did not wrangle a real dragon. But no, real actors, live action.
Where would they find a real dragon?
That's a good question.
Westeros, probably.
Materialist, I don't know what that is. But it's a comedy romance. The Unholy Trinity, Samuel Jackson, yes. Ballerina, yes. Dangerous Animals, yes. The Life of Chuck, I don't know what that is. Karate Kid, ugh. So, like, Lilo and Stitch and Mission Impossible and Thunderbolts, like, right now, yeah, all of those are decent enough movies, but dude, there's other times where I look through there and there's 10 movies playing and 8 of them look like total crap.
Yeah, and that's where you can kind of get me on this idea, is that I feel like I always look at trailers or look at what's coming out, and mm-hmm. I think they're gonna suck, and so I never go.
Yeah.
But if I don't have any preconceived notions, and I just have this idea of, all right, well, let's see what they're presenting me, I think I would actually be more inclined to go.
Really?
The more I think about this, yeah. At first I hated the idea. I'm like, dude, I don't even go to the movies anyway. I think movies always disappoint me, so why would I do that? But now that I think about it, maybe that's what it is I have all these preconceived notions in my mind from watching the trailer. And then I get there and I'm disappointed. Well, what if I had no expectations?
Yeah, just went in blank.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
And then I can watch it for what it is.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a better way to go.
And it's cheap.
Like car toys.
Yeah, and it's a nice, it's just a nice, I like going to the movies. I find sitting there with my popcorn and the previews and the big screen, I see it's an enjoyable experience. So you would probably get me on, a lot of this would be what else do I have going on? But you'd get me on a couple of these. Just because, yeah, why the hell not? Because on Tuesday night, when it's cheapo, I have definitely gone and seen movies that I normally wouldn't go see. But I'm like, dude, it's $5. Yeah, what else am I doing?
What is $5?
Yeah.
Keeping that really sweet $8 in our pants.
There was a really good one.
It's not even a pack of cigarettes anymore.
Yeah. I don't look
used
this
to be.
Up. Teacher Penguin. There was a movie that I went and saw, and you would know this guy, and I don't remember what his name is, but he was in The Other Guys. He was the director in Tropic Thunder. He played the director. If you saw him, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I totally know that guy. He was in a movie called The Penguin Lessons. And I was like, this was a Tuesday night a number of months ago, and I was like, what the hell is the penguin? There was nothing playing. And I was like, The Penguin Lessons? I was like, oh, I kind of like penguins. And I looked at the trailer, because I looked at, like, the reviews, and it had really good reviews. And I watched the trailer, and I went, yeah, why not? It's $5. And I went, it's great. It's a really, really good movie. And I've never met anyone that's even heard of it, no one else that's seen it. And under no circumstances would I have gone and seen The Penguin Lessons, other than there was nothing else playing, and it was Tuesday night, it was $5. And, like, that's kind of the beauty sometimes of the cheapo movie. But I think for a lot of people, either the movie theater's far away, the one's right by my house, and the cost and all I just think for people, you know, $25 for popcorn, a drink, and a ticket, I just think for a lot of people that's become a bridge too far. Especially when you can sit on your couch and watch
exactly
1,000 different Netflix options. But if you're sitting at home, you'll never watch The Penguin Lessons.
No. You wouldn't.
And you should, because, like, there's great movies out there that you will have never heard of, but they're really good.
That's true, but for every one of those I see, I'm seeing 8 duds.
Yeah.
That math don't work.
Yeah.
That math don't pencil up in here. Boy. Here now.
The downside, yeah, and someone saying you'll never get a blockbuster because those are already well reviewed. And
boy!
So you are going to get a lot of the. I'm guessing these movies will be more like The Penguin Lesson.
Yeah, now.
And I'm going to. Maybe I'm weird. I prefer movies like this to the Avengers. Like, I don't know. Those Avengers and Marvel movies and Star Wars, those things are, you know.
They're formulaic.
They're formulaic and whatever. I've seen a million of those, and some of them are really good. And but for the most part, you know, I like interesting little stories. And they're kind of going away. There's a whole thing in the movie industry now where the mid-level movie can't be made anymore.
Yeah. I've felt that way for a long time. Like your classic B-grade movie that has a good script and not a lot of action and a good story. Like if it doesn't have the effects or the blockbuster stars that cost a bunch of money or isn't part of like a franchise of either comedies or actions, like it seems like it doesn't get made.
Yeah, I was listening to Tarantino once, who's a huge, obviously, like cinephile. And he pointed out that, like, for him, he can make whatever he wants, right? He can get those movies funded. But they said, when you go to get a movie made, it has to be something that you believe that you can make $200 to, you know, $1 billion on, which is CGI, you know, formulaic crap.
And a widespread audience.
Or it has to be made for no money. Like, you have to find something that's going to be made for $5 million and you just... There used to be a nice sweet spot where you could make a nice movie for $20 million or $30 million, and maybe it made 50 domestically, and that was considered a success. But now everyone wants something that can be sold in China, so it has to be big explosions, and no one wants to risk
China
$40 million or $30 million or something that maybe could make 65 or 70. You can take a risk on a $5 million project, but no one's willing to risk on mid-level. And it's kind of, it's killed that area of movies. And my favorite movies over the course of my lifetime tend to be those movies.
Me too.
You know, when you go see movies like, I don't know, like Hell or High Water or The Usual Suspects.
But they're not necessarily high budget. They're well written. They're well acted. Well, they're well produced.
Yes. And those movies are dying in it. That sucks.
You mean like Varsity Blues?
I don't want your life.
Hey, that whipped cream bikini.
Yeah. Allie Larder.
Yeah.
She was in, did you see her in?
She was just in something. What was she in?
She was in Landman.
And looks better than ever.
She really
does. She looks incredible.
Look good.
That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
All right. So that's the latest trend in movie going. Unseen films. That surprise you. You don't know what you're going to watch until it starts.
I'm kind of intrigued by that. I might look because there's an AMC right by my house.
I tell you what. I will say this. Interesting idea.
Yeah.
Very interesting idea for the theater, which is not doing so hot.
It's not doing so hot.
Coming up next, let's see how R. Kelly's prison sentence is going.
Oh, I forgot he's in jail. Yeah, I was thinking Diddy.
On the Fan. You know, you mentioned Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his trial is about to begin or is underway.
Oh, it's already. I think it's ongoing.
It's been going on for a while.
Now, listen, I am not following a lick of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be a horrible human.
Yeah.
But I was on the golf course the other day, and the bros I was with were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making the case that Diddy ain't going to prison.
Okay.
Just because. What do you think? Are you following that? They were making the, because I'm not following
not closely
any
enough
of it.
To have an opinion that he will or won't, but there's so much attached to him right now, like
what? Because they were saying, like, well, what do they have him on that he liked to get a little freaky? I mean,
no, I think isn't it that he was like drugging people at his parties and then?
Well, but I think the idea is that a lot of people were just willingly participating in his parties, you know.
Yeah, I
the way they were talking, it made it sound like, dude, Diddy may not go to prison.
I read a bunch of stuff where they were like passing specific people certain drinks with a purpose so that they would get drunk.
He's being accused of like sex trafficking and like he's got RICO charges. All I know is,
yeah, what's RICO?
RICO is like where they can charge you as like a criminal organization,
like that you're trying to commit organized crime.
Yes, and like you can rope in like. If they convict one, they can convict like a whole group. It's like a criminal enterprise. They use it to go after the mob. and look, this is all I know. There is a ton of evidence, obviously, against him. I haven't been following day-to-day on the trial. But federal prosecutors, when they do this, yeah, they tend to win. I don't know if you know what the federal prosecution rate is, but it's like in the 90%.
Yeah, but that's what they said about the NCAA.
That never went to trial.
Yeah, because they didn't have a case.
Yeah, this did go to trial. This is on. He is on trial right now. I'll look at that up and see what the.
Yeah, I want to. I mean, I don't. Like I said, I don't know anything about it, but they were like, man, what's. It was almost like being painted as if the feds have it out for Diddy for some reason. He was like an informant or something, or yeah. It had to do with like Tupac. I mean, I don't know. These aren't my circles. I was just observing.
The
eavesdropping, I guess.
Yeah. 93% of defendants in federal criminal cases go to prison. So, oh, and by the way, those are just that's overall that get dismissed. Of ones that go to trial, no closer as low. The conviction rate, would you care to guess what the conviction rate of ones that go to trial for federal prosecution?
What am I guessing?
What is the conviction rate for federal prosecutors when they actually go to trial, considering that only 2% actually go to trial?
60%.
80%.
99%.
Wow.
Whoa.
So this is just my dad was a federal prosecutor for years and years, and he always talked about this, that when they take it as far as going to trial and the federal government is trying you, there's usually pretty good cases. Because if there wasn't, they would either plead out,
yeah,
or they don't settle, or they don't take it to trial. Because most of them plead out. Again, when only 2% go, when the feds come up against you, most of the people realize you do not want to go to trial against the federal government. We'll take a plea, you know, whatever. And if the government knows that their case is pretty wonky, they usually offer a pretty sweetheart deal, and thanks for coming.
Ah.
The fact that they did raids, they have mountains of evidence, and I have seen some of the evidence. Have you seen the photos? They're hilarious. Because, like, they have photos of the stuff they took from the raid. They have all, like, the lube and the sex toys and guns and drugs.
He liked his lube.
Oh, God. And, you know, the fact that this is ongoing and they've spent all these resources going towards it, something tells me Diddy is going to jail. They also said that I read that Diddy's people are actively trying to suck up to the POTUS. Because they are fear. They need the...
Yeah, POTUS said something along the lines of like, well, I'm not very familiar with that case, but I'd consider pardoning him if he wasn't if he didn't do it.
Yeah. So they're apparently the people close to him are,
if he didn't do it.
People are very, very close to him saying that they're leaning hard into the Trump thing and what sort of political donations can we do, and
they're very successful, they're very rich.
The power tea.
These guys were wrong. So the lawyers
I think he's going to jail.
Now to R. Kelly. Remember him? He was convicted.
Yes.
They got him. And I do think that was a federal case, was it not?
I do believe so, yes.
And he went to trial.
He went to trial. And he was convicted.
Lawyers for R. Kelly are alleging the singer overdosed last week on medications given to him by prison staff.
Oh.
Are they trying to kill R. Kelly?
Or is he trying to end it himself?
Is he either that or he's trying to you know, hey, look, these guys are trying to get me, you know, let
no,
me out.
They're saying that, so they placed him in solitary confinement. Prison staff then provided him an overdose quantity of medication on June 12th compared to his normal anxiety and sleep medication dosages, leading to his hospitalization. Kelly was forcibly removed from Duke University Hospital against medical advice.
Oh.
The Bureau of Prisons declined to comment on pending litigation, but... They said, so he's serving, I think, 30 years.
Yeah, he's
and they got him on racketeering.
30 years in New York City for racketeering and sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And he got 20 years in Chicago for child pornography and enticing minors for sex.
So they said that they placed him, this is all his attorneys are saying.
Yeah.
They placed him in solitary confinement against his will, which, I mean, I don't really know how prisons work, but I would imagine it's always against your will.
Yeah, I don't
think you willfully go there.
No one's like, hey, I would like to go to solitary.
And this
unless that's a safer place.
This was shortly after his team filed an emergency motion for his release from prison. In that motion, Kelly's team claimed three Bureau of Prisons officials allegedly devised a plot to have him killed by another inmate.
Stop it.
Then in the early morning hours of June 13th, Kelly woke up feeling faint and dizzy. He started to see black spots in his vision. He tried to get up, but fell to the ground, crawled to the door of his cell, and lost consciousness.
Oh, did he try to believe that he could fly?
I just don't
care. I see what you did.
I just find these things adorable.
I approve of that.
When everyone's in prison, like from Joe Exotic to Weinstein to R. Kelly, they do the, you know, I think Cosby tried this too. Although Cosby got out on like a technicality. I think he got off because the like a statute of limitation or something. But yeah, everyone that goes to prison is like, oh my God, these conditions are terrible. Let me out. It's prison. Sorry, R. Kelly, you're doing 50 years in jail. Like, you're not getting out.
It's not supposed to be fun. It's not camp.
Yeah,
I think even El Chapo said that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't he like, what is this?
These conditions are horrible.
What is this? Well, it's prison. Yeah. That's what it is, yeah. El Chapo.
And of course, there's a conspiracy to, you know, they're going to kill me. And, you know, trust me, Diddy's best card and R. Kelly's is the part. Just start sucking up to the POTUS. Start paying some money. And you might be able to get that.
Do you think
that's about the only thing you got?
If you got in a room with Donald Trump,
yeah,
and you were trying to like get him to pardon R. Kelly,
love cows.
What are the chances he knows? I believe I can fly.
2%,
tops.
Tops.
He doesn't even know. There's no way.
No, he has no.
He'd be like, who's O. Kelly?
Do you know the village people? They do the YMCA.
You just have to convince him. Did he vote for me? You just have to convince him that R. Kelly is the biggest Trump fan of all time.
Yeah, you just got to suck up to him.
Yeah, that's the key to everything.
So you don't play I Believe I Can Fly. You just say, oh, he loves you. Big fan of you.
Yeah.
He's in prison.
Huge fan.
Yeah.
Big fan of Trump Steaks, Trump Mobile.
And he didn't do any of it, Don.
And by the way, I would be doing that too. Dude, if I was facing 30 years, if I was Diddy facing however many years, I would be sucking up to him, too.
Remember those Louisiana bros that escaped prison? That one that was still on the run was, like, pleading to Trump, like, hey, I'll turn myself back in if, like, I'm cool with you, maybe you're cool with me.
Dude, when you're facing decades, and by the way, they're saying if Diddy gets convicted, he's going to die in prison. Like, so, why not, man? Try every trick in the book. If I was Diddy, I would have fled the country.
Well, he tried, didn't he?
I guess he did. He made an attempt.
It seemed like he missed a better chance, though. Like he hung around longer than he had to.
Yeah. Out.
I'm Jesus. Moving more into the whites.
Because Diddy's got a lot of money, and there's countries that don't have extradition. And I get, like, being in that place and never being able to come home would suck, and being a fugitive for the rest of your life. But go ask Roman Polanski. Like, it's not that bad. It's not that bad of a life. Go somewhere else.
So you're R. Kelly, you call him... from a new Trump phone.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, who dis?
Everything's computer.
Yes. Do whatever you can, man. Suck up to whoever. And clearly, I know it would look terrible to pardon, you know, someone that's a convicted sex trafficker, but he doesn't care. Does whatever the hell he wants.
If it helps his approval rating, he will do it.
Yes. Dude, convince him that can help you with you know, with groups and your approval rating, and, you know, maybe you got a shot at it. Start talking about how much you hate Canada and, start crapping on everyone else. And, you know, you start talking about all the stuff that he loves. It just doesn't seem that hard. Seriously. And maybe this is true for everyone, but especially for him. As long as someone likes him, it doesn't matter what kind of piece of crap you are. You can be the world's biggest piece of crap.
Just align yourself.
That's all you have to do is talk about how you think he's awesome and... was that a Nick Fuentes and Charlie Kirk? And it doesn't matter. You can be the worst. You say the most outrageous, awful thing, and it just doesn't matter.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. You're like, yeah.
He's fine.
I like him. Stable genes.
He calls me all the time. We talk.
Did you see the MyPillow guy? He was on trial. There was a trial.
Yeah.
For him. It was a defamation case. Mm-hmm. He lost.
Yeah.
And they said a federal jury... said that he defamed the Colorado voting system executive.
Yeah. Yeah. He's lost everything. and by the way, you can't pardon civil judgment. So, like, he's... that dude's, like, kaput.
He doesn't have any money anyway.
No.
But he has to pay $2.3 million in damages
This one. He's lost everything. He has his own network, though.
The MyPillow.
Do you know that? He launched his own, like MyPillow network where he's still trying to... He's still out there trying
Hawking
to get...
pillows?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Is he hawking pillows or news like Alex Jones?
Both.
Is it a good pillow?
I don't know. Never had one. I mean, he sold a bunch of them. Before this, he was rich. He made millions off of them. You know, I guarantee he didn't make it. So give him credit. He went from being like a crack addict to making multi-million selling pillows. He was doing something. At some point, the dude was intelligent enough to get his act together and be a millionaire. And now he pissed it all away on this.
Yeah, he's had kind of a wild life. I'd like to see a documentary on
The Mike Lundell biopic?
I would watch that.
Yes. I'll tell you, because I was searching for that. You were talking about the Katie Reed.
Her name's...
Karen Reed.
Karen Reed, yeah.
I looked for that last night. I couldn't find it. It's on Netflix?
It's on Max.
Sorry. I think I told you it was on Netflix.
Yeah, it was on Netflix. I was like, where the hell is this thing? I couldn't find it. Because I wanted to, you were like, yeah, it's pretty good. So I was searching for it last night. If you had one of those, if I turned on Netflix and right at the top of my queue, it was like, it was the story of the MyPillow guy. Yeah, I would click on that.
He's wild.
Yeah. He went from being like a homeless crack addict to building like multi-millionaire. Dude was worth like 20, 30 million bucks on the back of pillows. And then he pissed it all away doing this crap. The guy's got like no money. He's bankrupt. All on the election fraud.
I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah.
But interesting crazy. Entertaining crazy.
Yes. I would 100% watch that. That would get me tomorrow.
All right. Coming up next, the four states with the most psychopaths.
Wisconsin.
Is Oregon one of them? Why do you say Wisconsin?
You know how many serial killers Wisconsin has?
Alaska.
I don't.
Yeah. Wisconsin's like, well, it's cold and everyone's drunk and like there's nothing to do. You end up eating people, Ed Gein style.
That's next year's Buck.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, I have here the four states where psychopaths are most likely to live.
Is this like per capita? Because I'm guessing like,
well,
I'm guessing like New York and California are where the most serial killers are, just with the sheer number of
from a quantity standpoint, probably.
No, it's per capita. Okay. So they're talking about. I'll just read this to you. It says scientists have uncovered the U.S. states where people are more likely to have dark traits. They measured four traits: narcissism, Machiavellianism, psychopathy, and sadism across all 50 states. The study suggested that higher levels of dark traits in certain areas may be influenced by unfavorable societal conditions such as poverty, crime, inequality, scarcity of resources. States that enjoy more favorable societal conditions, such as higher education and income, better health care, and stronger social services, you're not going to get a lot of psychopaths.
Well, it makes sense, right? Like, bad conditions produce bad produce.
Yeah, that raises an interesting question of like
nature nurture.
Yeah, like if you're born with a tendency with some psychopathy, but you live in like one of the states that did really well was New England.
Yeah.
You know, versus living in Mississippi. Yeah.
Well, think about this.
Does that never come out?
If you are born and you got a little bit of the silly string chromosome in you, right? You got something a little off, and you come from, a decent enough family, let alone like a wealthy family. Early on, you're probably getting some of these things sniffed out, right?
Like, right.
You know, you're a little bit of a weird kid. But you come from, a decent enough family, you can pay for a little therapy, maybe you get into it to see a counselor, you're in a good school system, they maybe get you some help, or it's a one-on-one sort of, you get more one-on-one time, right? there's more safeguards. But if you are from the eighth ward in Louisiana or Mississippi, which is, I think, the poorest state in the union, and you come from a bit of a broken home, dad's not around, mom's working three jobs.
Exactly.
And you got a little bit of that in you. Dude, no one, you just get labeled as the dip-ass kid that no one wants to deal with. You're probably flunking out or being kicked out of school early on, and you're left home alone to deal with yourself quite a bit. And, you know, God, you just spiral, and you would like to think that that kid, you know, whether he turns out to be a serial killer or a criminal or whatever, had that big kid been given the same guardrails, yeah, that makes total sense that you just have more opportunities to fall through the cracks. I don't think that those areas are producing more of the kids with those sorts of traits. I just think it's way easier for those people to fall through.
So, the four states that scored the highest when it came to devious characteristics, mm-hmm. Nevada.
Okay.
Louisiana.
There you go.
New York. Mm. And Texas.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And they said New York and Texas, because you have a stark economic inequality in those two states.
Okay, you got
extreme wealth right next to poverty.
Sure.
And people snap.
Well, New Orleans has that too. New Orleans is my favorite city in the country. I absolutely love New Orleans, but it is the land of the haves and the have-nots. And it is stark. And I'm you know, Manhattan to some of the other boroughs, and I don't know, you know, I'm guessing Texas is more rural versus city living, right? I mean, you get out to some of the small communities in Texas, you're probably dealing with severe poverty.
Except this says extreme wealth right next to poverty. I don't know, it's a huge state.
Yeah.
But the other state, so Nevada, of course, scored high due to its gambling culture, sure, and risky behavior.
Yeah.
South Dakota is also high due to high poverty, inequality, poor health care, and limited resources.
Yeah.
Best states, Vermont, Massachusetts, and Maine, yeah, they scored the lowest in dark traits because they have favorable societal conditions such as higher education and income, better health care, and strong social services.
Sure.
Okay.
And I'll bet you that way, by the way, that's true across the world. You know.
Yeah.
Places that have good infrastructure. I mean, like, again, it goes back to the simple thing of, I'm guessing good farms with good soil produce good produce. And ones that that don't, I don't think you want to eat those berries.
But you've always heard, like, the Northwest has a high,
yeah,
well, suicide rate. You suicide always hear about that.
That's a depression.
But a lot of it's because they say about the weather.
Yeah.
But it's not about the weather as much in these types of things. It's about
what's around you.
Yeah, like how the state's doing, what it's offering.
Yeah.
What we got. Yeah. So now to Oregon. California made the list as well because it has some of the wider income gaps in the country.
Yeah.
So you got LA, where there's extreme poverty right next to
extreme
wealthy tech bro.
Yeah.
You know. But they said Oregon, Alaska, and much of the Rocky Mountain states did pretty well.
Hey, look at us.
Because and those scores can be attributed to a confluence of geographical isolation, cultural heritage emphasizing individualism and resilience, and social environments that promote cooperation and adaptability.
I can see that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, kind of small town.
It's like, true.
You know, I will say that, you know, Anchorage isn't really this way because Anchorage is a modern city. But when you get outside of Anchorage, there is definitely a sense of community in Alaska because you have to, especially in the smaller communities. You can't really make it on your own.
So we're not so bad.
Look at us. So you don't have to worry about us becoming serial killers.
Most of us.
Washington's had a few, though. You know,
they sure have.
We've had a couple famous ones.
Ted Bundy.
Yeah. Green River Killer. That's is that Gary Ridgway?
Ridgway.
Yeah. Here's Green River.
All right, we got to go wrap it up next on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know, someone asked, who is the most famous psychopath from Oregon? Because we were talking about the Washington serial killers.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, I don't know. The serial killer is the quintessential psychopath.
Sure.
Not that they're the only archetype of psychopath.
But it's kind
of
weird that some end up with, like giant followings and nicknames and stuff, and others
right.
don't. In fact, some of the worst ones you've never even heard of when you actually look up, like, the number of victims and stuff, and they're you know, they never really became, quote, celebrities.
20. Yeah, so guess how many serial killers are from Oregon?
I don't know. 10?
32.
Okay. And serial killer is like what? Three or more? Two, you know, something like that?
Yeah.
And
that's
it,
right.
And it has to be like repeated victims. It's not like, you know, a mass shooting is a serial killer.
I don't think that's right.
No?
Well.
So if you're a school shooter, you're a serial killer?
No, you're right.
I always thought a serial killer was like a
well,
repeat.
Let's look it up.
Like a repeat sort of thing, not one of the, you know. Otherwise,
yeah, it's a series of murders.
Yeah, a series of murders.
Often with no apparent motive, typically following a characteristic predictable.
Yeah, you got an MO.
Behavior pattern.
Yeah.
Three or more people.
So yeah, we have 32 of them? I don't know one of them.
It's a serial killer is a person who murders three or more people with the killings taking place over a significant period of time in separate events. Okay.
Yes.
So we've got 32, and not one name jumps off this page at me.
No, I can't think of a single one. Now, are these all like kind of in the past, or do we have one that's somewhat recent? I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I've lived here for the bulk of my life in this area, and I just don't remember reading about an Oregon serial killer.
You've got Keith Hunter Jesperson, Happy Face Killer. This was in the early 90s.
Huh.
He was in prison.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell.
8 total kills. Dayton Leroy Rogers, the Malala Forest Killer. 1980 slayings of at least 8 women. Hmm. Randall Brent Woodfield, the I-5 Killer. 1970s and 80s.
Yeah.
Cesar Francesco Baroni.
Put a little Swigard flair on that, did you?
Sentenced to death in 1995 for killing 4 women. John Arthur Aykroyd, Ted Bundy's Oregon connection, they said. I guess he killed an Oregon State student.
Hmm.
Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway's Oregon connections.
Yeah. So, like,
Sebastian Shaw died in prison in 2021.
Yeah, we just don't really have one that's that's kind of infamous.
We really don't.
No. You know, and like I said, Washington has 2. I wonder if Coburg will be, although, I mean, that's Washington/Idaho. But again, I don't even know if that's necessarily, he's not probably not a serial killer because it was all in one, it was one thing. But his name will go down. California obviously has a bunch. Maybe Richard Ramirez, Night Stalker. And again, you got to have a name and there's a, you know, for whatever reason, the media gloms onto one and, you know, kind of makes it a TV movie sort of thing.
All right, Hot Corner's coming up next, baby. So stay tuned for that. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on the Fan tonight.
Ships of Spain, red ships of
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.